Good evening to everybody. Tonight we're going to, Im Yirtzeh Hashem, we're going to study chapter 47 and maybe 48 as well, 48 of Sefer Yeshayahu. And this kind of completes a unit. Once we get to chapter 49, we are, so to speak, going to shift from the Jews in Bavel, or it seems that the Navi is addressing the Jews in Bavel, to addressing the Jews in Eretz Yisrael, or possibly the Jews both in Bavel and Eretz Yisrael. But it's a kind of a subtle shift that we're going to see, and the focus is not going to be so much on the Golei Bavel, those who are exiled in Bavel, in Babylonia, but rather the future. And we're going to see many of the famous haftarot. So far, we've only seen one famous haftarah. We've seen the haftarah of Nachamu Nachamu Ami. But now we're up to, we're going to see the other haftarot as we, in the next few weeks, that are also very famous. And we're going to, you know, experience some of those as well, but not tonight. So tonight we close out these nevuot that are given to the Jews in Bavel. And remember, in chapter, what we did last week, in chapter 45 and chapter 46, it was an explicit statement about the destruction of Babylonia, that Koresh explicitly is mentioned in the beginning of chapter 45, that he's going to come and he's going to destroy Bavel. And they're going to be crushed. The Bible also, and of course, in addition, we saw last week the total rejection and humiliation of the gods of the Babylonians, and the making of the tzlamim, the making of the idols, that became a recurrent theme in the chapters we saw, together with the, again, recurring theme that will also show up tonight as well, which is a kind of trope, which is the theme of God has predicted already in the past many things. And so whatever he says now is also going to happen. He has receipts, so to speak. God predicted the destruction of Assyria through the prophets, and it happened. God predicted the rise of Nebuchadnezzar, and it happened. God predicted the destruction of the temple and the exile of the Jewish people, and it happened. And so now when God predicts the demise of Bavel, understand that this is going to happen, and prepare accordingly. And in contrast, the nations of the world, and certainly the Babylonian gods and the Babylonian idols and the Babylonian magicians, do not have any track record near God that can prove such a thing. So now we get to an interesting chapter, chapter 47, which is a kin'ah. It's really an elegy. And you will see as we go through it, it's gonna remind us some of the language very quickly of the language of Eicha, of the destruction of the temple and Jerusalem. And we're going to see that right away. This kina, this elegy, which also is less sympathetic, however, than the elegies that we have in Eicha, because it also has an element of mocking of Bavel. But we'll see this elegy here, chapter 47. It has two parts, from verse 1 through verse 7. Is part one, which will analyze the hashpalah, the embarrassment and bringing down of Bavel, and the elegy around that. And then the second part is about focusing on the hashpalah of the kosmim, of the magicians, and the astrologers of Bavel. And we'll talk about that in depth. So let's look at the first part. And the first part, which starts right here, Ridi Ushvi Alafar Betulat Bat Bavel. So already there, you see the language Betulat Bat Bavel should immediately remind us of the book of Eicha. And for those who don't remember, I'll just bring it up in my Tanakh. If you look in the book of Eicha, in the book of Lamentations, so if you remember chapter two, it speaks of, in chapter two, verse 10, it speaks of Yeshvu La'aretz Yidmu Ziknei Batzion, sit on the ground. He'elu afar al rosham, chagru sakim, horidu la'aretz rosham, bitulot Yerushalayim, sit on the ground. Or in chapter 1 of Eicha, it sits ke'almana, and it speaks of bitulat bat Zion. Let me just find it. Let's say bitulat bat Zion. See if we can find it. There it said bitulat bat Yerushalayim. But it also says, see if we can find it. If I can't find it quickly, we'll just go back. But definitely you have the echo of the language of Eicha here in the passage that we're looking at in Yeshayahu. So, I'm sorry, I didn't want to go to that. I wanted to go to Mem Zayin. So, Ridi Ushvi Alafar. So the Navi is speaking to Bavel. Go down, sit on the ground. Shvi la'aretz. So come down, sit on the ground. Ein kisei, bat kazdim. Of course, kazdim is a euphemism for Bavel. And it's another name. Abraham came from Ur Kazdim. The Chaldeans were a major ethnic group in Bavel. And he says, kind of like, so there's kind of three statements. Ridi ushvi alafar, shvi la'aretz, sit on the ground, ein kisei bat kazdim. You're not going to have any more a chair. You're not going to sit on a throne. Ki lo tosifu yikru'ulach raka va'anuga. They will no longer call you raka va'anuga, dainty and special. Now here too, the biblical reader has an echo, because here too, this refers back, if you remember, back to the tochacha, the reproof of the Jewish people. When it talks about what's going to happen to the Jewish people, I don't know why this is here, but I just want I want Tanakh, and just regular, let's see if we can get that. So if we can get Devarim, so in Devarim, Perek Chavchet, so the Bible describes the Tochacha, the great reproof, the terrible suffering of the Jewish people. So towards the end, it describes, it says, you know, there's going to be, unfortunately, cannibalism. Ha'ish harach b'cha v'enog ma'od. The man who is very soft and dainty, teira eino b'achiv, he's going to end up and going to eat from his friend. Haraka b'cha v'ha'anuga shelo nistachaf ragla hatzeg al ha'aretz mehitaneg umeroch teira eina b'ish cheka ubivna ubishvita. So the raka, the dainty, and the anuga, milashon oneg, the one who was constantly pampered, the woman who was a princess, she's now going to have to try to find food, and she's going to fight with her compatriots for cannibalism. Teira eina b'ish cheika ubivna ubivita. She's going to look askance at her own husband and her own children. So the term haraka b'chava anuga here is used in a very sharp way, because it's being used to describe the Babylonians, not the Jews, not the Israelites. You will no longer be called a princess. You will no longer be called a dainty, a lady, milady. No longer. That's the first part. Second part. Kichi rechaim v'tachani kamech. Take a rechaim, take a millstone, a mill, a grinding mill, and prepare your own kemach. Now that's a very evocative phrase, because to do that in the Bible, that is the symbol of the lowest socioeconomic status. It was the slaves and the slave women who often would do the grinding. And so, for example, just to give you two examples in the Bible, so we remember from Sefer Shmot, if you remember in Sefer Shmot, so we have when the Makat Bechorot happens. So if you look in Makat Bechorot, so Hashem tells Moshe he's going to bring Makat Bechorot. Vayomer Hashem, Vayomer Moshe. Moses says to Paro, Ko amar Hashem kachatzot alayla ni yotzei betoch Mitzrayim, umet kol bechor be'eretz Mitzrayim. Mi bechor Paro hayoshev al kiso, from the prince of Egypt, the firstborn who sits on the throne, ad bechor hashifcha asher achar harechaim, till the lowest, till the firstborn of the maidservant who works after the rechaim, who works amongst the rechaim, who works, you know, milling the wheat, the grindstone. We have it again in the Bible. We have it in the book of Shoftim. If you remember when Shimshon is captured by the Philistines and he's mocked and his eyes are poked out, and the Bible describes what happened to him. The Bible says, "Vayochazu plishtim vayinakru atenav, vayoridu oto azata, vayasru banichushtaim, vayhi tochein beveta asurim." He was put to work as a slave to grind the millstone. That's what he was doing before he's taken out and paraded in front of the Philistines in the temple of Dagon. So it's very evocative here that when he's trying to again mock the Babylonians, so he uses the language of the Tochacha and he says, Kichi rechaim v'tachani kamech. Take the rechaim, take the millstone, take the grinding stone, and grip. I also want to point out, some scholars point out, there's also noticed a little assonance and play on words here, alliteration, whatever you want to call it. Kechi, rechaim, tachani, kamech. The chet sound is very evocative of a grindstone. There's a grinding. Galitza mateich. Reveal your tzi'if, your tzama, which is a sign of, just like the sota, you know, uncover your hair, uncover your face. Chesvi shoval, chasof, like we say, uncover your thigh, because you're going to have to run away. You're not going to be carried. You're going to have to pick up your skirt to try to run away and cross rivers. Gali shok, reveal your thigh. Ivri neharot, tigal ervatech, gam tarech erpatech, nakam ekach velo efka adam. I'm going to take vengeance and I won't listen to any prayers of your priests, any prayers of any human being. Lo efga adam. And In contrast, excuse me, Goaleinu Hashem Tzvakot Shemo Kadosh Yisrael. God is our Redeemer. His name is Kadosh Yisrael. Again, I mentioned many times the repetition of that very unique phrase, Kadosh Yisrael, the biblical precedent to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in rabbinic literature, the term HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Holy One, blessed be He, the Holy One of Israel, which connects back to Yeshayahu, who saw the angels in chapter 6, saying Kadosh, 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 Adonai Tzvaot. And here, in the second half of Yeshayahu, whether it's the same prophet or a different prophet, it uses very often that term. And once again, repeating this theme, Shvi Dumam, sit quietly, Uboi Bachoshech Bat Kazdim, Ki Lo Tosifu Yikre Lach Gveret Mamlachot. You're not going to be called the Gveret, the Queen Mother. Katzafti Alami, Chilalti Nachlati, Ve'etein Biyadech. It's true that I was angry at my people. I defiled my Nachala, which both refers to Am Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael. I let you capture Eretz Yisrael. I let you exile my people. Ve'etein Biyadech. But Lo Samt Lahem Rachamim, Al Zakein Hichbarta Uleich Ma'od. You showed no mercy, and you were very brutal to the elderly. You didn't treat anybody with respect. Vatomri Olam Eye Gvaret, Ad Lo Samt Aleich Eile Alibech, Lo Zachart Acharita. You didn't recognize what, you know, why you were successful, and you simply became haughty, and you didn't recognize. This is very similar. This theme is a theme that appears in the book of Isaiah, in the first half of Isaiah, when he's talking about Assyria. Assyria was the agent of God. God, in, you know, 150 years before, had brought down the kingdom of the north. And God says there, Hoy Ashur Shevet Api Umatehu Biyadam Za'ami. Assyria is the stick of my anger. Begoy Chanefa Shalchenu V'alam Evrati Atzavenu. I sent them against a haughty people, and Am Evrati, and the nation that made me angry, Lishlol Shalal, V'lavoz Baz, V'lesimo, L'sumo, Mirmas, I sent you to punish. However, there was a problem. Assyria let it go to its head. V'hu lo chen yidameh. But he didn't understand, obviously. Assyria didn't understand that it was simply a pawn in the hand of God. U'levavo lo chen yachshov. He simply wanted to kill and destroy. And he thought that he was more powerful than all the gods, including Hashem. And he thought that he would bring down Jerusalem. Ki amar bekoach yadi asiti v'chochmati. I did this myself. And I was the one. So Assyria was full of ga'ava, was full of pride and full of haughtiness in thinking that it was more powerful than its God. And God, of course, turns to Assyria and says, Hayit pa'er ha-garzen al ha-chutzev bo? Can the garzen, does the axe have the chutzpah to be more haughty than the one who actually made the axe? Im yitgadel ha-masor al menifo? Does the saw that cuts down the tree, does it have the chutzpah to think that it's more important than the one who waves the saw? And therefore God says he's going to punish Assyria. Similarly here, this idea that Bavel was the agent of Hashem. Katzafti alami chilalti nachlati v'tein biyadech. I gave you the Jewish people, but you did not understand that, obviously. Lo samt lahem rachamim al zaken ichbaratu loch ma'od. You put your uleich, you put your all, you put your burden very heavily. You went beyond what you were supposed to do. Vatomri, and you said, la'olam heye gveret. I will always be on top. I will always be the queen. Lo samt ela libech lo zacharta achrita. You didn't remember the end of what's going to happen. And now in the second half of the kina, he turns to Bavel. And the key word here is, again, picking up on the theme, is betach, a sense of security, a sense of complacency. And the repeating theme is a theme that we'll see in a second, is, again, the theme that, so to speak, that they are, you know, more important than anything else. V'atashim izot. Listen up. Listen up. Shim izot, adina, right? Before they were called rakav anuga, soft and dainty. And now they were called the adina. In modern Hebrew, adinut, you know, softness, gentleness. The one who saw themselves, hayoshevet labeta, who used to sit in tranquility, ha'omrabil vava, ani v'afsi od, I and nothing else. Now, this is a fascinating statement. This phrase is used for the first time in Tanakh in the book of Zephaniah. If you look back in the book of Zephaniah, one of the 12 minor prophets, in describing in the book of Zephaniah in chapter 2, and Zephaniah lived in the time of Assyria, Assyrian hegemony, B'yemei Yoshiyahu ben Amon, in the time of Assyria. And in chapter 2 of Zephaniah, so he says about in Zephaniah, he says, when it speaks about Ashur, and he says, you will also, Gveyet Yadol Tzafon V'yabed Ashur, V'yasemet Nineveh Lishmama. There's a promise that Nineveh, the great city of Assyria, will be destroyed, which eventually was destroyed. V'ravtzu B'tocha Darim. So there'll be, you know, sheep just grazing on in what's happening there. Zotair Ha'aliza. The city, Nineveh, that was so happy and hayoshevet labetach, that didn't worry about anything because it's the strongest city in the world. Ha'omra bilvava ani v'afsi od, that I and nothing else. Afsi is basically a fancy literary, you could take off the yud. It's a fancy way of saying efes. Ani v'afsi od, I and nothing else exists. Yeah. They always go overboard. How can we square that with divine will? Because human beings, I'm just reading the chat, human beings are given, unfortunately, human beings are given free will, and they often go overboard. Obviously, divine will is to, you know, sometimes to play it out, but ultimately, people have responsibility how they're going to play it out or how they're not going to play it out. It's very much like the Ramban's idea about Paro and Mitzrayim, that they went too far. So that, I don't think, is such, you know, that's something that is inherent in the Bible. But again, to me, it's striking. Hayoshevet labeta ha'um rabil vava aniva afsiod. Echai tal l'shama, how it now has become, or will become, a total disaster. Marbeitz l'chaya, it will be a grazing land for animals. Kolover alea yishrok yaniya yado. So this phrase is first used by Zephaniah in relationship to Assyria, which also was haughty and which also saw itself labetach, saw itself as secure, and always saw itself as the one in charge. And here it uses, if one believes, as I do, that the Navi here is being written during the time of the Tkufat Bavel, so he could have heard this nevuah about Assyria, or it had been passed down. Now he's applying it to Bavel, and he says, Shvidumam uboi vachoshech. Katzaft, I'm sorry, Vatashim izot adina yoshevet labetach. Ha'omra bilvava, just like Assyria. Aniv avsiot. Lo esheva manav lo edashcho. So she says, Aniv, I am everything. There is nothing beyond me. Now, this is a very striking phrase. It's used in Sefania, but specifically here, to be used here is also a specifically Isaianic move. Why? Because we have had that phrase once before in the book of Isaiah, in chapter 45. We had it last week. And in chapter 45, verse 6, HaKadosh Baruch Hu used that phrase to describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ani Hashem, ve'ein od zulati, ein Elohim, a'azreka v'lo yida'atani. Leman yed'u, mimizrach shem shum ma'arava, ki efes bil adai. Ani Hashem, ve'ein od. There is nothing else. There is no power besides Hashem. God runs the world, as they say in Yiddish. The Eibishter fiert the welt, yotzer or uvorei choshech, oseh shalom v'rei ra. Ani Hashem oseh kol eile. And so now, when he accuses Bavel, Bavel basically usurped the role of God and said, Aniv afsiod, I am everything. And therefore, because I am everything, lo eshev almana, v'lo edash chol. I will never sit as a widow, which of course again reminds us of Eicha, Haita ke'almana, v'lo eda shchol. Shchol, of course, is losing your children. In Israel, mishpachot ha-shakulot are families that have lost children in battle, especially. Rivka says, lama eshkal shneichem biyom echad. Why should I lose both of you in one day? So shchol is the loss of children. Almana is the loss of husband. So Bavel says, I'm always going to be on top. Lo eshev almana, which of course is exactly redi ushvi alafar. Shvi la'aretz. Go and sit because you're going to be in mourning. You think that you're not going to sit as an almana? No. Vatavon alach shte eile rega biyom echad. Exactly these two things will happen to you on one day. You'll lose your husband and you'll lose your children. Shechol ve'almam. Kitumam ba'u alayich. They are going to come upon you. They are going to come upon you. Entirely. Kitumam ba'u alayich. It's also, and notice the play, the chiastic structure. It plays off what it said before. It said, lo eshev almana, v'lo edash shchol, almana shchol, A, B, v'atavon olach, but now it will come upon you in one day, shchol v'almon, B, A. Both of them, exactly what you thought wouldn't happen, is exactly what will happen to you. So this is exactly what happened. Yes, free choice. Thank you, Molly. So it's exactly what is going to happen to you. Vatiftichi, again, key word here is bitachon. You had this excessive belief, trust in your power. What power specifically? Vatiftichi bira'atech. You believed in your evil. This is a euphemism for the magic. Amart ein ro'ani. No one sees what I do. Chochmateich v'da'ateich hi shovavateich. Your quote-unquote wisdom and your quote-unquote da'at, which is your incantations and your imaginations, that is what brought you down. Hi shovavotecha. V'tomri b'libeich ani ve'afsi od. Now, it's described, they were the wisdom, your wisdom and your knowledge. Again, it's a reference to the Kishuf. It's made explicit in a few psukim. Once again, Vatomri b'lebech aniv avsiot, uba alaych ra'ah. You relied on your evil, But evil will come to, okay? And again, it's notice the play. You relied on your evil, which is a euphemism for your magic. Bavel was saturated with magic. They believed in magic. They believed that they could manipulate the powers. Amart ein ro'ani, nobody can see me. Chochmateich v'da'ateich hishovoteich. And you thought you had wisdom and da'at. Uba'alayich ra'a. Instead of ra'ateich, ra'a will come to you. Loteid I shachra. You'll not have known it before. Vatipol alayich. Hova lotuchli kapara. You won't be able to protect yourself from it. Kapara comes from the original word kofir. When you put the pitch in the tar, it's to protect you from the water. It's a protection. Kofir, it's a protection. So eventually comes to mean atonement. You get protected from the evil, from the punishment. Kapara. But originally it means like a dome, like a protection. It protects you. Vatavolach pitom. Shoah. Destruction. Lo teidai. You thought you had da'ateich. But you're going to have such an evil come upon you that lo teidai, that you never knew. And you're going to have a shoah that lo teidai. Imdina b'chavarayich. Continue and stand with chavarayich. Remember the Bible. Chover chaver. Those who engage in divination. Uberov kshafayich. And with your kshafim. Ba'asher yagat minu urayich. Ulai tichlu. Tuchli. Ho'il. Ulai ta'arotzi. Maybe it'll help you. Maybe it'll give you strength. Ta'aritzi. However, God says, Nil eit berov atzatayich. You have become weary because of all your machinations. Yamduna v'yoshiech hovrei shamayim hachozim bakochavim. Let them come and save you. Your astrologers, the ones who look up at the heavens and the stars. Modi'im lachadashim me'asher yavo olaych. They're the ones who constantly predict what's going to happen. Let them come and help you. But they're not going to come and help you. Again, now I want to make a point. The Bible here is making fun, just like in Mitzrayim, making fun of all of the Avodah Zarah, but specifically magic. Magic was a central category in Bavel. Just to, again, give you some biblical and extra-biblical evidence. If you look in a book that's not studied a lot, because it's also partially because it's in Aramaic, so let's try to see if we can get Amud HaBayit. So we'll do it both in English and in Hebrew so we can understand it. Let's do Ivrit v'Anglit. So if we look at Ivrit and Anglit, I don't know what this is here. Okay, Ivrit and Anglit. I don't want to download. I just want to see it. No, I don't want to download anything. I just want to see it. So let me put Tanakh, Ivrit uve Anglit b'makbil. So if we look at the book of Daniel, which, again, for those who don't remember, the book of Daniel describes the period of time when Babylonia was in charge. After the destruction of the temple, they were exiled to the Babylonian court. And Daniel and his friends, they are there when the downfall of the Babylonian Empire comes and the Persians are successful. So if you look in the book of Daniel, I think it's in Perek He, in the book of Daniel. So let's go to 2, 3, 4, 5. So this is the famous chapter which describes the writing on the wall, as we say. So Belshazzar avad lechem rav, he made a big feast. And etc., etc. Then they brought the golden vessels. They drank wine, praised the gods of gold, etc. And of course, there's the writing on the wall. And the king was very frightened. Kare Malka, so the king called Bechayil Lehela Leashfaya to bring the Ashafim. Till today, in modern Hebrew, an Ashaf is a magician also. A magician for a child is a Kosein. But the Ashafim, Kazdaya Vigazraya. He said, bring the Ashafim, bring the Gazraya, those who declare what's going to happen, the astrologers, and the Kazdim. So notice that in Babylon already, the Kazdim were known as, they were identified. Their ethnic name was identified with magicians. The Kazdim were the ones who were the magicians. So, and even if you look in Greek sources, later on in Greek sources, it turns out that often when they want to talk about magicians, they use the term Kazdim, Chaldeans in Greek, because it became like a trope that these are the people who do engage in that. And again, just to show you a little bit, just from, Chaldean astronomy. Let me see if I can make it a little bigger. Let's see if we can make it bigger. It's getting bigger. So for more than 2,000 years, the records of Babylonian Syrian astronomy lay buried, etc., until they discovered them. The prophet Isaiah, this is our set. Stand now with thy enchantments and with the multitude of thy sorceries. If so shalt be able to profit, thou art wearied in the multitude of thy counsels. Let now the astrologers, the stargazers, the monthly prognosticators stand up and save thee from these things that shall be upon them. It's also nice, the nice little play on Amod, Amdi versus Lashevet. You think that you're going to get up by your kishuf, by your magic? No, you're going to be on the ground. Among Greek writers, asserted that the Chaldeans were skilled in astronomy and the casting of horoscopes. And Elian, the fact that both the Babylonians enjoyed a reputation for possessing a knowledge of astronomy. Achilles reports the existence of a tradition, the fact that the Egyptians mapped the heavens and that they inscribed their knowledge on their pillars. The same tradition declared that the Chaldeans claimed the glory of this science, etc., etc. So this became a major source. Also, there's a lot of, again, and if you look in the online, you'll find many people have written many PhDs and many books about the Chaldeans and about their, so to speak, and their work and their magic. So this is a major theme. And this is what the Navi here is projecting and attacking. Okay, so now we come back to Yeshayahu. So the Navi ends off, Imdina, stand up, in contrast to the Shvi, which begins the lament. Go down and sit, because you will not. Here he says, Imdina, stand, v'chavarayich, uberov kshafayich, basher yagat minurayich, ulay tuchli ho'il, ulay tarotzi. Nil eiti berov atzatach, yamduna v'yoshiech, hovrei shamayim, the astrologers, achozim bakochavim, modim lachadashim yasher yavo alayich. Hine hayu kikash eish srafatam. They are like kash, they are like straw, that they're nothing. They're brittle. Lo yatzilu et nafsham miyad lehava, ein gachelet lachmam, ur lashevet negdo. Notice the image here. They're like fire which is consumed. Instead, and they're not fire that's helpful. Here it's two fires that are negative. Kakash eish srafatam. They're like straw that is burned by the fire. Lo yatzilu et nafsham miyad lehava. They're not able to save themselves from the lehava, from the spark. And on the other conch, ein gachelet lachmam. There is no coal to heat them up, or lashevet negdo, fire to sit next to. Kain hayulach asher yagat So charayich min urayich ish le'evro ta'u ein moshiach. This is what you, from your youth, it won't save you. All the things that you worked hard, all your kishuf, and all your astrology, and everything else that you created, all the science, etc., will not save you. It's ta'u ein moshiach, as opposed to God, who is go'aleinu Hashem tzvakot shemo kadosh. Okay, now let's continue to chapter 48. Chapter 48, interestingly enough, chapter 48 is divided into three units, and it's pretty straightforward. Again, you can see it. It starts with Shim'u Zot, but now we're talking to Israel. We're not talking to the Babylonians anymore. The second part starts Shema Eli, Yaakov Yisrael. And the third part, it starts with Shema Eli, and it ends over here. And the final part is Tzu Mi Bavel, which is a directive to the Jewish people. So let's start. We're not going to finish it tonight, but let's start this parak. So this parak is a tochacha. I've mentioned many times that in the book of Isaiah, we go in circles, concentric circles, back and forth. So on the one hand, there is the, we've seen the bringing down of the Babylonians, the making fun of the Avodah Zarah of the Babylonians, making fun of the Tzlamim of the idols, undercutting the power of the magic, undercutting the haughtiness of the Babylonians, predicting, God saying that he predicted the past, and therefore what he's predicting now about Koresh coming and destroying Babylon will be here. But at the same time, from time to time, we saw that he also threw in tochacha, reproof to the Jewish people. Either reproof about the fact that the Jewish people went into exile because they didn't follow God's will, and they should recognize that they went into exile and learn from that. But also, there was tochacha to the people who are in Bavel, who have given up hope, or don't believe that God is going to be able to bring salvation for whatever reason. Either they believe the destruction of the temple shows that the might of the Babylonian gods was stronger than the Israelite God, or they believe that the future of the Jewish people is now to settle in Bavel and not to return to Israel, whatever they believe. And God gives here, once again, there is a tochacha about the Jewish people. And there is also a theology that is going to be set forth that despite all of the mistakes and the fact that the Jewish people are not Snow White, God still will redeem them. And so this is framed again to the people living in Bavel, who some of them have given up hope, or that they need to understand, even though they're not perfect or they're not tzaddikim, God is going to save them. So let's take a look at this nevuah. So the first, as I said, the first part is straight tochacha. Straight tochacha. Shimu zot beit Yaakov hanikraim b'shem Yisrael, umimei Yehudah yatzau. Notice the use of all of the phrases describing the Jewish people. Yaakov, Yisrael, Yehudah. So listen up, the house of Jacob, those who call themselves by the name of Israel, and they emerge from the waters of Judah. Whatever that means, the waters of Judah, there's two ways to understand it in the Parshanut. Does it refer to, is it a euphemistic reference to semen? They emerge from the Mei Yehudah, they emerge from the semen of Judah, or is it that we should read this not as Mei, but as maybe that the ayin, there was an ayin here that fell off for some reason, either because of a transcription error or because of just part of the language. So it could be me'ayim. Me'ayim, of course, are the innards. Me'yehuda, who come from the innards, from the bosom of Judah. Hanishpa'im b'shem Hashem, who go around swearing in the name of God, meaning they affirm that they believe in God. Ube'elohei Yisrael yaskiru, and they mention the name of God. So they are identified as the carriers of the name of God. However, lo be'emet v'lo bitztaka, but they are not sincere, and they don't do it bitztaka. They don't do it biyosher. They don't do it honestly and with integrity. He's talking to the Jews, but at the very outset, he sees them as people who are not, you know, they weren't tzaddikim, and they're not tzaddikim. Ki me'ir hakodesh nikrau, they were called. They come from the Ir HaKodesh, from Al-Quds, from Jerusalem. They rely and they see themselves as leaning on God. So he addresses the Jews. He calls them by all the names, but he wants them to know. I understand that a lot of it is not sincere. And God now gives them, again, tochacha. Harishonot me'az, he got it. Remember that I predicted in the past, the early things, umipi yatzuv ashmiim, and I said them and I made them heard you. Pitoma siti vatavona, and I made them come. They happened. Midati, and I know ki kashe ata. I know that you are stubborn. Remember, ki am kshe oref ata, vegild barzel or pecha umitzchacha nechusha. And that your oref, your shoulder, your back, kashe oref, it's obviously echoing that. And your oref was gid barzel. It's like iron. I know how stubborn you are. Umitzchecha nechusha, and I know that you're, even in modern Hebrew, meitzach nechusha means an arrogance of the, a brazenness of your forehead. Vagid lecha me'az b'term tavo ishmaticha. And yet I told you what was going to happen. I told you what was going to happen. I told you about your successes. I told you about your failures. Pen tomar. And I told you all this so that you should know that God was the author of history. Pen tomar atzbi asam upisliv niskitzivam. Because I know that you were very ready to say that this was done by your idols. Shamata. Chazei kula, v'atem halo tagidu, hishmaticha chadashot me'ata, unutzurot v'lo yadatem, I told you things that you didn't know. Atan ivrau v'lo me'az. They weren't around, they just happened now. And I predicted them, v'lifnei yom v'lo shmatem, pentomar hinei yada'atin. And I didn't tell you about them until right before they happened, so you shouldn't say, oh, I knew about it. Gam lo shamata, gam lo yadata, gam me'az lo pitcha oznecha. Ki yadati bagod tifgod. I knew that you were rebellious. Bagod tifgod. Bigida, you're a traitor. Ufoshea mi beten korelach. And I know that you, from your very womb, from your birth, you were often a poshea. You were often a sinner. However, now comes the theological chiddush. Even though you're not worthy, even though you have a metzach nechusha, even though you have a kshei oref, lema'an shmi a'arich api utihilati echtom lach levilti hachritecha. But for my name, for the sake of God's name, that it should not be mechulal bagoyim, it should not be desecrated. I will be erech apayim. I will be long. Uti lati echtam lach. I will give you my glory and not destroy you. Hinei tzrafticha below bekesef. I purged you. Becharticha bechur oni. In the crucible. Lema'ani, lema'ani e'eseh. Lo lema'anchem. Not for you, but for me. Ki eich yechal, how can it be that I will be defiled, uchvodi la'acher yitain, lo yitain, I will not give my glory. This theology that God will save the Jewish people, and again, the play on Shim'u zot b'Beit Yaakov hanikra'im b'shem Yisrael, they call themselves the name of God, and they swear in the name of God, and they rely on Hashem Tzvakot Shmo, but ultimately it's not their name, it's Leman Shmi. This theology comes from, at least, not comes from, but we've seen it also in this period of time, meaning the time after the destruction of the temple in Bavel. We saw it in Yechezkel. And if this Navi is writing a couple of decades after Yechezkel, around the same time of Yechezkel, it is interesting that it is the same theology. This is the theology of chapter 36 of the book of Yechezkel, where the Navi prophesizes about Israel. And he says that he's going to redeem the Jewish people. V'atem harei Yisrael anfeichem titeinu perichem tisu l'am Yisrael. He's going to turn the desert once again. Hini aleichem faniti aleichem v'naptem. V'hirbeiti aleichem adam kol beit Yisrael. V'noshvu ha'arim. The cities will be once again repopulated. It's a very Zionistic vision. V'hirbeiti aleichem adam u'beimah v'ra'u v'paru v'oshavti. V'holachti aleichem adam et ami Yisrael. Vayitem. This all is going to happen. Why? Because when the Jewish people were sitting on the land, they defiled the land. And I punished them. Vashpoch hamati aleim al hadam asher shafchu. And I exiled them. Afitzo tam bagoyim. Vayavo el agoyim asher bau. Vayichalu et shem kodshi. The very act of galut, even though it had to happen, is an act of chilul Hashem. Desecration. Be'emor lahem am Hashem elu mi'artso yatzau. Because you ostensibly are the people of God, but you've been exiled. So does that mean either God doesn't have the power or that God has abandoned you? Va'echmol al shem kodshi asher chilu be Yisrael. Lachen amor lebe Yisrael komar Hashem Elokim. Lo leman chem ani osi be Yisrael. I am not restoring the land of Israel and you to the land of Israel because of anything you've done. Ki im l'shem kodshi asher chilaltem bagoyim asher batem sham. V'kidashti et shmi agadol ha'mechula v'agoyim asher chilaltem betocham v'yadu agoyim ki ani Hashem v'kodshi b'chem le'ineichem v'lakachti etchem min agoyim v'kibatzti etchem mikol ha'aratzot v'yveiti etchem el admatchem, etc., etc. So God here, in the book of Yechezkel, which is written after the Churban, part of it is before the Churban, part of it is after the Churban, is during this period of time in Bavel. So we have the same theology here already articulated at the in this period of time of that God will restore the Jewish people even if they're not worthy, which is something that eventually gets played out in rabbinic literature in a very famous rabbinic statement. The rabbis make a play on the word bi'ita achishena. There's a strange pasuk where it says that God will redeem the Jewish people in its time, bi'ita with an ayin, but I will make it fast. I will make it come close. So Chazal say, bi'ita, in its time, im lo zachu. Achishena, I'll make it quick if you're zachu. Meaning that this idea that there are two tracks of redemption. There's redemption because you're worthy, and there's the redemption that's going to happen irrespective of your level of worthiness, because God has a plan. And in Yechezkel, and in this passage in Yeshayahu, the theology is God's name is, there's a certain chilul Hashem, which is definitely true, that there was a certain desecration of God's name when the Jewish people who were supposed to represent God are downtrodden and destroyed, etc., etc., and etc. So this is very powerful. We'll continue Im Yirtzeh Hashem next week. We will finish chapter 48 and begin chapter 49. I wish everybody a wonderful week. Obviously, today we all heard about the announcement of the ceasefire between Hamas and Israel. Let's hope. Again, I'm not a political commentator. Let's hope that, first of all, it brings back these people alive, as many people alive as possible, to their families. And let's hope for good things. We don't know. We can't predict the future. But hopefully more positive things that should emerge from this. And Shabbat Shalom to everybody. Shabbat Shalom.